Kathy G. from San Diego.
Hello. My name's Kathy. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 21st, 1984. And, you know, I was thinking about this meeting, and I was thinking, well, you know, it's Christmas weekend, so either I figured people will be out of town, it'll be great, and I thought, oh, God, people need more meetings. There might be more people here. But it looks like people are out of town, so that takes a little bit of pressure off. I thought about what I would want to share here. You know, I only have 10 minutes, and I think that for me, what I have that I don't know if anybody else can use that I have from this program is that when I got here, I didn't have a really, really, really low bottom. You know, I was a student in college, and I hadn't lost cars, and I was in a relationship, and he was still around until I got sober, then he left. And you know, so I had to grab onto that part of the book where it talked about yets, and I'm not a real good book quoter, so I'm not even sure which book it's in, but I know it's in the 12 and 12 actually. And I had to really grab onto that, and I did, and I haven't had a drink, you know, and so as I stayed sober, I realized that a lot of the things that I thought I hadn't done, I had given other names to. You know, I thought I hadn't lost a job, but well, for one thing, I was in the Navy, and back then it was really hard to lose a job in the Navy. And I mean, I was dealing drugs in the Navy, but I realized that there was a job that I walked down the road and quit because my boss had come into a bar and seen me in the bar drinking, and I wasn't old enough to be in the bar, so I went down there and told them that it couldn't have been me. They must have been mistaken, but by the way, I quit. So see, I hadn't gotten fired from a job. And I didn't have blackouts. And then I realized at the time that I called and reported my car stolen, still underage for drinking, and found it parked in front of another bar, you know, somehow either somebody else got the keys or I drove over there, one of the two, and I couldn't tell you which one happened. So, you know, at a few years of sobriety, I realized that probably I had blackouts, you know, and the behavior that I engaged in, I was a child of the 70s and the free love generation, and I regret some of the behavior that I exhibited at that time, and that's enough of that. And I spent a lot of time after I got sober going to office parties, you know, and watching the other young women who graduated from college with me and started in the profession that I was in, sitting on the laps of the other guys working in the office and, you know, carrying on. And I was thinking, you know, if I were still drinking, Lord knows, you know, and I'm really grateful that I didn't have to go there. I didn't even look at this clock, so I have no clue where I go, how much time I have left. So I guess, I don't know, I guess what I would like to say, what I've tried to tell some people that I've been working with recently that they're not hearing, is that, you know, yeah, frustrating as that is, you don't have to lose it all, you know. You don't have to go through all the crap that some of the people that come into this program have to go through, and you can get sober and you can have a good life. I've been sober for a long time now. I mean, I've been sober for, well, 23 years, but I was thinking in relation to how long I drank. I only drank and used and all the rest of that stuff for about 13-14 years, you know. I've been sober a lot longer than I drank, and I have a life that I am so grateful for today that I know that there's no way I would have had. I started drinking because I wanted to be a grown-up. And, you know, I've been able to give my children a different idea of what a grown-up is. You know, And last night, one of my sons got to go to a party at Lowe's at Coronado, 16-year-old. Must be nice. And I took him down there, and right after we got there late because he'd had a basketball game. And the paramedics were hauling out a 16-year-old girl, said maybe 17-year-old girl, because they were worried about her. You know, she was in such bad shape. I was thinking about that. I was talking to one of the moms, and I was thinking, you know, we drank a lot, and I don't remember us dying from it. I don't know what's changed with regard to why are all these kids dying from drinking? You know, they must be mixing the wrong drugs. I mix drugs, too, but they did the wrong drugs. Anyway, so I'm really grateful that I don't have to do that, you know. And I'm really grateful that I'm there to take my son and to sit there and wait till the party's over and bring him home. And, you know, and I think about, you know, what I did when I was 16. And it's certainly not what he's doing when he's 16. And I have another son who I'm very proud of who has walked through a lot of crap, and people in AA have helped me walk through his crap. And he's doing really marvelously right now. And he's a good person, you know. And I know that me and the way I approach life and the way that, I mean, one of the first things I told them is, or tried to teach them, is that it's okay to be wrong and to admit it. You know, and I think they've learned that. And all of this stuff that I have and all these blessings that I have in life today are because of this program and because I don't drink and I don't do drugs and I have the support of people in these rooms to come back to. I've spent a lot of time in these rooms in tears, hysterical. At 21 years of sobriety, 21 and a half, I started doing 90 meetings in 90 days again because the stuff was happening with that son. My mother was dying of cancer. And I wasn't afraid I was going to drink. I was afraid I was going to just totally mess up my life and destroy everything that I had. And I can do that without even drinking these days. But this program helps me to be able to walk through that. And you people help me to walk through that. And the things that I hear in here when people stand up and share honestly help me to know how I can take my next step and cause the least destruction possible in doing so. And am I almost out of time? 3 minutes? Are you serious? Oh, my gosh. So we were wrong, Nat. Anyway, so what else could I say? I don't know. I didn't want to go into a lot of the drunkalogue because 10 minutes isn't very much time. You know, I guess to me, again, you know, the more important thing is the sobriety. What I've been able to do in the sobriety in this program, I've been able to find a God that I could work with. I'm a recovering Catholic, and I got absolution from a priest for not being Catholic anymore at an AA retreat, and that was a great freedom for me. So immediately being the self-will, whatever alcoholic that I am, I started going to Mass every morning. And I did that for about three months, got that out of my system. And then I was able to carry on and check out some other churches and find a spiritual system, spiritual belief that is constantly unfolding for me that works for me. And this program gave me the opportunity to look at that and to explore that, because where I came from, you know, I didn't hang out with people that were going to be talking about spirituality and God. I don't know. I hope that anybody who is here, who is new, who is here on a court slip. I didn't get here on a court slip. If you're here on a court slip, take it as a sign, you know. Thank God I never had to kill anybody, you know. I mean, the paper just the other day, you know, someone killed 4 people, I believe. God, I'm so grateful I don't have that I get to carry with me. Or my children. You know, I didn't kill my children. I didn't... there's just so much to life and so much that not drinking and not drugging can do for us, and this is where we can find the space to do it and to live and to live happily. Believe it or not, I am happy. Some of you who see me on a regular basis may question that at sometimes, but truly, truly, I am happy and I'm grateful for my life, and I'm going to stop talking. So, five more minutes. Thank you.